Let's turn in our Bibles together to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. And last week we looked at verses 12 through 20, and today we're going to look at verses 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Everything that Paul writes about in this letter is in response to the church of Corinth. And so some of the things are struggles that they're having. Some of the things that he writes about are behavior issues within the church. And so even this, he is writing to them because they had a particular focus. And what it appears to be, based on what he is answering, is because of the things that he is pointing out, what we are able to gather is that the Corinthian church was really focused on some showy activities. They were focused on gifts of prophecies, especially gifts of speaking in different tongues, gifts of healing, things like that. Anything that was flashy, they thought was important. And so as he writes to them, he wants to talk to them about just spiritual things. Is the overwhelming. And that phrase, that the first three verses that we looked at are really the beginning of about the next two to three chapters, really. He says, now concerning spirituals, our translators have added the idea of gifts. Some translations don't even put gifts in there. Some of them say spiritual things or spiritual people. If you were to read it in the Greek, it's now concerning spirituals, plural. And it's left to us to interpret, what is he talking about? Is he talking about spiritual things or spiritual people? It's very close to the concluding phrase that he uses in chapter 14. If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, if anyone thinks he's spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I'm writing to you are a command of the Lord. And so because of that, it looks like he's talking about, I want to talk to you about people who are spiritual. Because sometimes, what do? We evaluate people based on their behavior. If somebody's got, you know, and let's just go down the Facebook memes, right? A Bible falling apart is evidence of a life that's not. So if somebody's got a Bible that's falling apart, must be more spiritual than a person whose Bible is in pristine condition. Right? Or maybe a person whose Bible is falling apart is cheap and hasn't bought a new Bible in the last 20 years until it finally fell apart and I had to start using a new one. Maybe a person whose Bible is falling apart disrespects the Bible and doesn't treat it properly. I've seen, I tell you what, you want to talk about heartburn during a sermon. Watch a pastor take a Bible and fold the cover over. I'm not going to do it to mine. I can't handle it. I don't know what they're saying anymore. I'm not listening because all I am sitting there saying is that poor book. So maybe the meme of a Bible falling apart isn't true, but we have that attitude, don't we? Or a person who walks a certain way or talks a certain way or dresses a certain way or does certain things. And here's the difficulty. Some people just are naturally that way. And so it doesn't take a whole lot of effort for them to be super spiritual. Maybe that's just kind of their personality. And then you have somebody who maybe they're a little rough around the edges. And because they're rough around the edges, maybe they use language they shouldn't use in polite society. Maybe they have personal behavior characteristics that are not what society thinks are good. And so we look at a person like that and we say, well, obviously they're less than spiritual, aren't they? And so Paul is saying, let's talk about spiritual people. And he's telling the Corinthians, I don't want you to be uninformed when it comes to those things about being spiritual. He says, now, when you were pagans, you were led astray by mute idols. However you were led, you were led astray. And he notice he's focusing on the fact that they're mute. They can't say anything. He says, but believers, so first he's got the Greek focus, the mute idols. And then he says, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit ever says Jesus is accursed. Now, this is actually talking about the Jewish people in the community who would say Jesus is accursed. And anybody that looks at Jesus and says that he wasn't truly the Son of God, and because the claim is that he is the Son of God, they would say, well, he was lying. He's cursed because he was blaspheming. That's kind of a Jewish viewpoint. And so he says, nobody in the power of the Holy Spirit can say Jesus is accursed. That just doesn't happen. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And so this, and now, you could do one of those, you know, sidewalk interview type things. You could get just about anybody to say the words, Jesus is Lord. What's Paul really getting at there? Well, back in the Roman days, if you were living under Roman rule, you had an offering to make. It was kind of like your tax. Just like I pay taxes to the United States government and I don't pay taxes to Britain because we settled that 200 years ago. I may pay high sales tax because I'm a resident of Texas, but I'm not paying Colorado's income tax because I don't live there anymore and I don't work there. In the same way, under the Roman Empire, everybody was required to offer up a sacrifice and declare their allegiance. And maybe we should think about that when we pay our taxes. This is our allegiance to our country. I don't know. But the Romans, they would take a pinch of incense and they would burn it. And they would say, Caesar is Lord. In fact, even the idea of the good news, the gospel. When a Caesar died and a new Caesar took over, the old, the gospel, the good news, that everything was okay in the empire would be spread by runners and by riders who would go out and let everybody know there's a new Caesar. That was the good news. And what God does is he doesn't just borrow. What he does is he uses our earthly things and sometimes even creates them so that we can see who he is. But the good news isn't that there's a new Caesar. The good news is Jesus Christ has come. And the countercultural attitude of the church was not to say, well, Caesar is Lord, but I worship Jesus at home. No, Christians died. And they went to the circus and were torn apart by wild animals because they refused to say, Caesar is Lord. And instead, they would only proclaim Jesus. They would only proclaim Jesus is Lord. And so this statement isn't just, because I've struggled with that, you know. Whoever confesses with their mouth Jesus is Lord and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead, he will be saved. And that first part, doesn't it seem so easy? I mean, things are said so quickly and so easily in our culture today. What he's saying, though, is no, it's about I bank everything on Jesus. And he says only people who have the Holy Spirit are able to do that. And so his focus isn't so much on the showiness of our gifting, but on who works through us. And so he says, I want to talk to you about spiritual things. I want to talk about being a spiritual person. You were once led by mute idols, but now you're following Jesus and you've got the Holy Spirit working in you. And so you can't say that Jesus is accursed. Nobody that says that has the Holy Spirit. Only people that have the Holy Spirit are those who proclaim Christ and who follow him. But the contrary is, or the flip is also true. Those who follow Jesus and believe in him have the Holy Spirit. And so he moves on and talks about what it's like to have the Holy Spirit in our lives. In verse 4, he says there are a variety of gifts. And that word gifts is the same word that we get charisma from. You know, somebody has charisma, they're said to be gifted. And it's charisma that is what the Holy Spirit gives. Not that we all suddenly have what we consider as charisma, but we all have these gifts of grace. They are given to us. There are things that are given to us that are from God that are not our own and not our own ability. He said there are a variety of these, but the same Spirit. And what he wants to do, notice he says there are varieties of service. That would be ministry, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, outcomes, effects. There are a variety of outcomes of our service, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. And so, right off the bat, what he's telling these Corinthians, who are all focused on specific gifts, he says, look, there are a variety of gifts. There's a variety of ways that God gives us grace to help us serve. But there's only one Holy Spirit. And there are a variety of ways that we have to serve with those gifts, but only the same Holy Spirit. And there are a variety of outcomes. Basically, two people equally gifted, two people equally called to certain ministries could even have different outcomes. But one God who works to empower them all. And so the focus isn't so much on the gift, but on God, on the Spirit. And the recognition that there are different ways that it comes out, there are different ways that we see, there are varieties there. But it's the same God who empowers them in everyone. And so to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And that has got to be basically the big point and the big idea of this passage. To each is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit for their own use, for their own glory, for their own salvation, for the common good. But it's a gift. You don't get to choose the gifts that you're given. You know, even Christmas, we might make a list and we might say, this is what I want. But ultimately, you can't choose the gifts people give you unless you're a wife and you're telling your husband, here, you bought these for me a month ago. Hide them and give them to me Christmas time. Now, that's different. But the point is we don't get to choose the gifts that God gives us. We don't even really get to choose the ministry, the opportunities of service. There are varieties of service, you know, but we really don't get to choose those. I mean, we might get to choose a little bit, but ultimately we really don't get to choose a lot of that. And the outcome, we really don't get to choose the outcome. Did you notice in the questionnaire there was a lot of questions about outcome? There were things like, I enjoy sharing my faith and people respond. You know what hurt me on a lot of those questions? I could have gotten higher scores if it wasn't worried about outcome. But because of outcome, well, you know, that really doesn't happen. And so the scores were lower. His point here is all of those things that we're worried about, all those things that we focus on, they're not the thing to focus on. God is the one who gives the gifts. God is the one who provides the opportunities for service. And God is the one who orchestrates and brings about outcomes from it. How is it that one person can walk up to a complete and total stranger, just start talking to them, end up talking about faith, and that total stranger says, I want to follow Jesus. And then you might have a dozen other people that could have done that same thing and nothing would have happened. I could talk to 50 people and be lucky to have two conversations. He talks to one and has one conversation. That's 100% effectiveness. Well, that's because it's the Lord. It's the Lord working. And so that's what he's saying. And it's not just for my benefit, but it's for the body as a whole. It's for the common good. It's not just for the church. It's for those outside the church that we serve with what God has given us. And it doesn't just benefit us. It doesn't just benefit the church, but it benefits our society, our community. It benefits the world because we serve God in the ways that he has called us. And so he says to us, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, another utterance of knowledge. And notice, as we go through there, somebody might get this, somebody might get that. But what is it all by? By the same Spirit, by the one Spirit. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. It's not up to us. And so what we're going to do, since I'm not going to ask anybody to show me what you got, but I'm going to show you what I did. And this is kind of tough. So let's go ahead and throw the first slide. Well, the second slide. We don't need, it's going to be pastor's spiritual gifts. Back in August, remember I told you I took this just a couple of months ago. So back in August, this was my score. Wisdom 41, discernment 41, they tied. Teaching 37. Because they tied, I give you my second two runner-ups. Exhortation and pastoring, 36 and 35. So that was in August. So 2 months later, I take the test again, and let's go to October. Not a whole lot of change. Wisdom, discernment, down a point. Teaching, exactly the same. Knowledge takes over exhortation's position, and knowledge and pastoring are tied at 35. Now, the reason why I'm doing this is twofold. One, don't worry if your numbers were low. I'm going to show you in just a minute, not yet. I'm going to show you what my lowest were. The numbers are like the points on whose line is it anyway. They don't matter. Okay? Some people score everything high. Some people are very hard on themselves and they score everything low. But what will happen, as hopefully this shows you, is the things that you seem to have a giftedness in will bubble to the top. Whether they're in the 15 range or they're in the 40 range, they will bubble to the top. Okay? Because even if you're just really down on yourself and the highest you gave yourself is a 5, chances are you gave yourself a 5 in those things that you're gifted in to some degree or another. And so here's the thing. As we think about wisdom, discernment, and teaching, so that basically means I've got some kind of a gift of having to be able to discern a wise course of action or to discern the differences between things. What that means is I get really, I see things pretty quickly and I get frustrated when other people don't see it as fast as I do. You know, but it also means a lot of times I see things and I take it for granted, it's right there, and other people don't. So for instance, if you've ever said to me, you know, I just don't see this, and I read the same passage you read, and then when we were together and you preach, and all of a sudden I see things I never saw before. Well, this would be where I would say this is why. Because that's what God's done for me. He's given me discernment. Teaching is up there. Does it bother anybody that pastoring isn't my top three? You think that's bad? Let's go to my last slide, my lowest scores. What's number one? My all-time worst, lowest score in spiritual gifting is evangelism. Doesn't matter if I took it in August, it doesn't matter if I took it in October, it doesn't matter if I took it 5 years ago, it doesn't matter if I take it 20 years from now. Chances are my lowest score will still be evangelism. I scored a 10. It went up by 5. Arbitrary, doesn't really matter. Still the bottom. My next is mercy, 24 and 18. Then giving and faith intercession, depending on the month, it flopped a little bit. Now let me tell you something. Mercy and evangelism isn't, just because I'm low on those doesn't mean I don't have to do anything. Okay? Just because I'm low on evangelism doesn't just mean to say, oh, I don't have to bother. No. Evangelism is the work of the church. And so I still pray, and I still seek, and I still try. But the fact of the matter is, I have had this many people who have come to know, who have said a sinner's prayer after talking to me. That many. It has not happened in my life. No matter how hard I have tried, and I came to faith in Campus Crusade for Christ. That is your righteousness. And that's where I stood. And what we do as people in the church is we've decided certain things are more important. To the Corinthians, those things were speaking in tongues and having gifts of prophecy or gifts of healing. And there are some churches today where those are the top things. You notice in this questionnaire, it didn't even ask about speaking in tongues, even though it was clearly in Scripture. Other ones have speaking in tongues. But we can hold up certain things, certain gifts, and say, this is what you're supposed to be. Now, I've got an obligation as a Christian to share my faith, to be ready at any time to share the joy and the hope that I have in Jesus. But what this does, for me at least, is it helps me acknowledge I'm not going to see much fruit in that area. And it also is one of those things that kind of leads me to say, maybe I shouldn't beat myself up too much about it or focus too much. You ever heard that fable about all the animals in the forest? They decided to start having a school. You know, and the rabbit was really fast, but it wasn't a very good swimmer, so they decided to tell the rabbit to quit running so much and work on swimming. The turtle was nice and strong, but he wasn't very fast, so they told the turtle to take his shell off so he could move faster. But the turtle got stepped on by the elephant. You ever heard that one where all the animals, they all had to give up their things that made them special and try to be just like everybody else, and what you end up having was everybody was awful by the end of it. And we can do that. There are some people that mercy is their top spiritual gift. I would probably go out on a limb. I could probably point to some people that I think mercy is going to be in their top three. Those are going to be the people that are always thinking about other people. Not just in a altruistic way, but they're going to go and check on them. They're wondering, how are they doing? It just is invigorating to go and visit. You don't have to be sick and they're going to wonder how you're doing. You know, there are some people, for instance, giving. Giving is something for the whole church. I can't sit back and say, well, it's my bottom three. I guess I don't have to give this month. You know, no, it's something for everybody. The difference, though, is if you have a spiritual gift for giving, you do different things with that than a person who doesn't have as much of a spiritual gift for it. And so, similarly, if you don't have teaching as a gift, don't worry about being a teacher. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have the opportunity to teach other people about your faith. But if your gifting is not in teaching, you probably really don't need to be taking over a Bible study or a Sunday school class. And that's what it's about. It's about trying to figure out where we are. And so as I go to Scripture and I see that what is the role of a pastor by Scripture, and it's guiding the church, the word is actually guardian or overseer. And so the focus is about trying to guide and lead a body of believers, equipping, is for the equipping of the saints. Well, then I can say, okay, maybe wisdom and discernment and teaching, maybe those things do work in that pastoral role. And it doesn't mean I don't go visit people. It doesn't mean I don't care about people. But it helps me to recognize why, if I have to go and visit people too much, I'm run down by the end of it. Because for the most part, I'm working on my own energy. It's not a spiritual gift. Whereas, like, if I were to ask some of you all to teach, it would wear you down, and maybe you wouldn't want to be in church anymore. I've seen that happen, where a church signed people to be teachers, and the next thing you knew, they stopped coming to church. Because it's not in their gifting. The focus isn't, do you have the best gifts? In our world today, I would say mercy is held up as a great gift. Evangelism is held up as one of those gifts. People probably think that things like wisdom and discernment or teaching, you know, that's nice, but in our society today, the more you care about individuals, the better person you are. And so we're seeing those gifts are more important. And I'm not knocking caring about individuals, because we do care about individuals. But the problem comes when we hold up certain gifts to the detriment of others. And what I've wanted to do by showing you this, hopefully, as you've thought about yours, maybe you looked at your questionnaire and you didn't like the fact that you were low in some areas. Maybe you were truly honest in your answers and you said, wow, I don't like this. Maybe you have to go back and be honest because you were not honest because you didn't want to have that experience. Don't get messed up. Don't get worried about what you're not good at or what aren't gifts from the Holy Spirit. Don't worry about the bottom half. The question is, what am I supposed to do as my part in the world? And so we have a variety of gifts. And Paul's point to the Corinthians is that it's the Holy Spirit who gives them. And there's a variety and there's all sorts of different ways that we can use them and that we can be useful to God. And he's designed us all in different ways. And it's not so that we would desire this one or that one, but that we would accept what he has given to us as a gift and try to use the gifts that he has given us. And that can be hard to do sometimes. If you really want to be something you're not, it can tear you up. And then there are a variety of services. There's a variety of ways to serve. And again, we got to accept who we are and where we are and what we are. You know, there's a reason why I felt called to be a pastor and not a missionary. My gifting is part of it. I also have a hard enough time learning English. Forget another language. But there are some people I've talked to, it just comes to them. Why do you think it comes to them? Now, because a person goes to another country, does that make them better than you? Not better, just different. Different service. God doesn't have those evaluations. We have those evaluations. It doesn't mean they're less, but we shouldn't beat ourselves up because we're where we are. Or that we are only able to do the things we're able to do. You know, maybe you're only able. There was a guy I remember reading about. He was an evangelist, and he would just walk out into areas, and when he felt like it was the right place, he would stop and he would set up his flannel graph board. And this was in the days. I mean, we're not talking back in the 70s and 80s. We're talking about in the 90s. When flannel boards are something we all snicker about. But he would do his flannel graph. And he would teach with his flannel graph. And there have been some times I've thought, you know what, maybe I'm just a flannel graph guy and I should go back to flannel graph. And there are some people, they teach with all sorts of amazing things. There are some people, they do these elaborate things, and we could speak bad about them because we're not able to do it. Or we can just say, you know what, that's awesome that they're able to do that. What am I able to do? And that's why I shared that article in the Pastor's Ponderings in the e-letter. And I've got some copies on the greeter table. I've got like 9 copies left if you want them, or I can make more. But it's just this guy in Brownwood who likes to smoke meat and likes to cook. And he bought himself a big smoker, and about that time, he heard about the youth and what they were doing, and he just decided, well, I could smoke a bunch of meat, and they could sell it to raise money. And he's been doing that for 16 years. And you could easily say, well, what's that? He's not going overseas. No, but other people are. Well, all he's doing is sitting at his house walking from his kitchen to the smoker. Yeah. And he's hot. He's sweaty. It takes hours of effort. But he's working with what he's got. And he's serving the Lord. And if you'd like to read the whole article, we've got some copies back there. But that's the point. How do we live? How do we work? We have a variety of opportunities, a variety of services, a variety of gifts. The point isn't to say, oh, I want that one over there. Paul says, no. There's a variety, and what we got to do is recognize who are we and what have we been called to do. And if people don't like us because we're simple or we're old-fashioned, there's nothing really we can do about that, is there? You know? If all we had was a barbershop quartet, and it's definitely not barbershop quartet time. But, you know, we might as well do the best we can with what the Lord gives us. He's the one that gifts. He's the one that calls to service. And he's the one who is ultimately in charge of what kind of outcome comes out of our work. Best thing we can do is come to grips with who we are and how he has called us. Best thing we can do is embrace who he has made us to be, and to see how we can use what he has given us for his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we We thank you for the grace that you've given us. We recognize, Lord, that there are things that we'd rather not be. There are things we would like to be different in our lives. And there are things that maybe we struggle with. I pray that we would trust in you. I pray that as a people, as individuals, as a church, we would accept the gifts you've given us gratefully and freely, and that we would seek how in our circumstances, as who we are as a church, who we are as people, and how we live, we might be limited physically and geographically. But Lord, may we serve you in whatever capacity we can. May we trust in you for the outcome of our service. It may be that you haven't called us to reach the masses. Maybe in our life there's just that one person that you've got for us to reach. We want to be faithful with what you give us, Lord. We want to be faithful so that when that opportunity comes, we're there and we're ready. And we know that if we are faithful with what you have given us, the answer is the same. Doesn't matter if it's the servant who had 10 or the servant who had 5, the answer is the same. Well done, good and faithful servant. And we pray, Father, that we would be faithful in what you have given us, not focused on what might be the greatest, focused on what you've given us through your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.